Yo, what's up? It's your man's Joaquin. Make sure y'all like, comment, share, and subscribe to the podcast, because we got some dope interviews. So now let's get into the podcast. They listening to me. Yo, what's up? It's your man's Joaquin, and you're tuned in to another episode of Heat Level Podcast. What's up, world? Well, y'all already know how I do it. I bring them in. I always bring them in. So hailing straight from Houston, Texas. We talking H-Town, not the group H-Town, which they were dope. But anyway, we talking about Houston, Texas, and she goes by the name of Candace Joseph. So Candace Joseph, say something to the people.
Hey, everybody. What's going on? Let's get into it.
So first and foremost, what is your occupation? What do you do?
I'm the chief executive officer of the Joseph Consulting Firm. I'm the radio show host of the Business Knowledge Broker Hour with Candace Joseph. I am also the owner of HJS TV, and I'm the campaign manager of Deidre Gilbert for Texas governor.
Oh, there we go. I'm talking about like me. I got a lot of them. Them things too. And by the way, you know, I do this on every podcast, but I'm gonna move my head. That's my film. That's my film poster right there.
Hey, I love it.
No doubt. So, which of course I gotta wear Heat Level Films, of course. But basically, where you grew up at and what made you get into what you are doing, like, you know, what area where you come from, basically how you was raised, you know, a little bit of your morals, you know, let's do that.
All right. Well, I was born here in Houston, Texas, and I grew up in a neighborhood called Third Ward. It is a inner city, at-risk area. But I have to say that within that community, we were taught about community and about helping each other. So for me, I was always brought up in that spirit to do what you can for people, to uplift them and empower them. So I decided to go the entrepreneur route and help other entrepreneurs launch and grow their business and make their dreams come true. So that was really it. I was, I can say I was a suburban kid that grew up in the hood. You know, I was a suburban kid that grew up in the hood because my dad was like, hey, you never want to forget where you came from. Yeah. Regardless of what education, what status, what job you have, you know, you never move out the hood. And I have to say, here I am in my 40s and I'm still living in the hood.
Hey, yeah. I tell you this, if you are still living in the hood, but you are progressing and you know what you're doing and you know why you're there, you got a purpose why you're there, you're trying to bring people up out of it. And let's be honest, man, a lot of people in the hood don't like to listen to people that ain't where they at. You know what I'm saying? It's very, you know, and me growing up, you know, little background about me, you know, I've been, you know, I did some time, basically, you know, 7 years. I've been, you know, state custody. And you know, I never listened to a lot of stuff from cats that weren't where I'm from. It's like, they like, oh, you can do this. I'm like, hold up. You don't even know nothing about the hood. You don't know nothing about where I come from. But what you read on the papers and watching the movies, I'm not listening to you. We ain't got nothing to talk about. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I have to say, for me, it was a different kind of scope, right? Because, I was one of those people that, yeah, you go out there, you get that high education, you do what you got to do, but you let people know. I was always taught, like, you know, some people had a mindset of, if you grew up in the hood, you're supposed to get educated, get these big banking jobs, you're supposed to move out of the hood, right?
Yeah.
I was brought up the total opposite. Okay. I was taught that, hey, you stay in the hood and show other people how it's done. So that's how I was brought up.
Okay, well, let me ask you, since you say it like that, does it depend what kind of level you own when it comes to that? And then this is why I say that. If you want to talk about people like Nipsey Hussle, who was murdered in the same neighborhood he grew up in, you want to talk about, I take it all the way back, you know what I'm saying, to people like, because I'm, you know, I'm a hip hop artist too, by the way, but I take it back to people like Soulja Slim and a lot of people that were murdered in their own hoods, you know, and it comes a lot from the Black community, no doubt. And I just want to say is there a certain level that you really need to be to actually stay in the hood, like not broke, but not rich, but in between, because where I come from, you know what I'm saying? Right. If you're a cat and you worth $2 million and you in the, I mean, you can make it $2 million a year and you smack down in the middle of the hood or by the hood, I promise you, them cats are coming up in there. You feel what I'm saying? Rest in peace of Pop Smoke.
But this is how I look at it, right? Rest in peace of Pop Smoke, for sure.
Yeah.
This is how I look at it. People only know you got money if you show it.
That's true.
Or if it's public knowledge. So to me, it's kind of like when you talk about, you know, people that have celebrity status that want to stay in the hood, you know, that's a little bit different. Get you some security, build your compound, but build it in the hood. But yeah, please,
okay, keep in mind, okay,
you know, when you build that compound, then you're going to bring up the property value of the people around you. So make sure you get them a little love on the spread, right?
Oh, you know what? You absolutely right. So if you go to the hood and you see all this property that a lot of white people are buying up and they coming in the hoods, let's be honest, I'm in Nashville, Tennessee. So I don't know if you know what's going on in Nashville, Tennessee.
I do.
But you know, it's like boom, boom, boom. So they grabbing a lot of property that was the hood and they gentrification.
Yeah, gentrification. But it's the same thing. I look at it like this. Like I said, it comes from the mindset. We are not taught, we're taught to elevate, but we're not taught to stay, you know, within those same spaces and keep up the race of elevation. So think about it, man. You know, grandmama on them died. I live over here in a rich part of the county. Am I going to really come out here to cut the grass or worry about getting a tenant? Or am I going to sell it to the first developer I see? Because I already know I'm not moving back to the hood. You have to understand it's a conditioning process.
Yeah,
so, we got to break the mindset.
It comes from brainwashing from... And I'm going to give you a rundown about that. I love my grandmama to death. Of course, I love my dad. I love my people. But I changed my name, okay, from Antonio Deshaun Lowe to Joaquin Abdullah Talib. That's what you see. That's my legally name now. You know, just got my passport, too, by the way. But I'm just saying, so it's a legal name. Now, a lot of people are like, why you change your name? That's what your mama named you. Rest in peace to Inga Lowe. But you know what I said? I love my mama to death, but she was not woke. You know what I'm saying? And when I say stuff like that, a lot of people don't understand where I'm coming from. And I said, we are conditioned a certain way. It's a tradition a certain way. The names that we carry, we are told that them are our names and hold on to that name when it's actually the name of our oppressors. Now, when you come back from that, and a lot of people don't understand that it goes a lot deeper than that, but a lot of, especially my own people, which I love my people, but you know, we stuck in that mindset of when I get it, I'm gone. You know, when I get it, I got it. You know what I'm saying? You need to get it. And you got some, but we coming from majority of what we see is like, Wayne, you ain't gonna reach down and pull that brother up and show him how you got this. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know,
I look at it as not only an oppressive mindset, but also the conditioning of the miseducation of what generational wealth actually is.
Yeah. Oh, so, yes. So we're about to talk about that.
I tell people all the time, I don't believe in generational curses. We cannot sit there and beat down our ancestors for the love, the knowledge, the opportunity, and the resources they had at the time. They did what they could, or your ass wouldn't be here, right? So I look at it from that standpoint.
Yeah.
And I look at it from the thing about generational wealth. People look at the flash of generational wealth. They think that generational wealth is the thousands of influencers or millions of influencers online. They think of it as the big house, the big car. They think of that as generational wealth because that's what's flaunted in front of our eyes on social media. That's what we see in the news. That's what's sensationalized. But that's not what generational wealth was about. That wasn't what the concept was about. So I think also, I don't want to say the word woke, but I think if people educate themselves on their history and also the history of their oppressors and also look at what's going on in the world around them, financial news, technology news, science news, all of that, then you can arm yourself a little bit better to go out here and talk about generational wealth and, you know, that ultimate come up. You know what I mean?
I put it to you like this. I went to business school. When I was in the streets, ended up in prison, got out 3.5 years ago, right?
Yeah.
Now, this is the thing, okay? In addition of running a filming company, a podcast, and a music company, and a shirt company, okay, I tell people this right here. You gotta first know where you came from to know where you're going. And this is why I say that, is mm-hmm. you gotta get that knowledge. Now, I'm gonna tell you why I don't say go to college, right? I don't tell people you need to go to college, get a degree, because 80% yeah. of the people that go to college and did a degree ain't even using that damn degree any damn way. And they in debt right now and still can't get out of the debt working at McDonald's with a MBA. I don't want to hear that. You feel what I mean? So this is my thing, right? I always tell people this right here. You had the 5 men, as they say, built America, which they built it on the backs of Blacks and Natives in this country. Now, you're talking about John D. Rockefeller, Andrew Carnegie, J.P. Morgan, Cornelius Vanderbilt, and you talk about all them people, right? Look what they did and how they monopolized during the industrial times, right? How they monopolized and how when they was broke up, everything still passed on down, and they created that generational wealth that if you say the Rockefellers, if you say the Kennedys, if you say the Hiltons, it doesn't even matter. We know exactly who they are. Now, of our people, who can you say the boom, the boom, the boom, and people know who they are? You get what I'm saying? We don't have that. You know what I mean? And I don't think that is a curse. When I say you're trying to break that curse, I say it. I done said that before, but I think you're absolutely right. It ain't that it's a curse. We are very, very miseducated when it comes to generational wealth. I have a family member that thinks if they pay off their house, pass it down, try to get another house, pass it down, that's creating generational wealth. And I'm like, it's people that don't got generational wealth that are sitting on properties that they're about to lose. You understand what I'm saying? And yeah. I was trying to explain to her, generational wealth is a lot deeper than what you're saying, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, of course, a lot of people don't like the stuff I say. I'm going to keep it real with you, but I be keeping
you
it
with me.
I keep it so gutter. Like I got business credit. I got a Paydex credit score that I'm building. And a lot of people don't understand what I'm on. And I'm trying to tell them about the net 30s, the net 60s, the net 90 accounts, how you can get all this funding, how you can make money with somebody else's money and create the generational wealth.
Exactly. The OPM. That's what I call it. I tell people, man, you got to do the OPM and you got to do that business remix. Just because somebody else out there selling insurance, that don't mean that's supposed to be your lane. Just because somebody else got a CDL and they out here trucking, that don't mean that that's your lane. Create the path that you want. And the thing about it is, if you include giving back to the community at the same time, the money going to come. It's going to fall in your lap because the rainmaker going to be activated. See, I run off a rainmaker process.
Okay.
A lot of people don't know what the rainmaker is. The rainmaker is a sales term. It talks about how you can put certain things in play in order to make sales come through the door. Is like, you know, money falling from the sky.
And guess what? A lot of people, they need to learn about the Rainmaker. You know where they can go watch? Yeah. Watch the James Patterson movie, The Rainmaker. Watch that movie. He put that concept as you talking in that movie. And I guarantee a lot of our people, because I promise you, I done asked them, they ain't never seen that movie. They ain't never read that book. I'm just being honest with you.
Yeah,
and that's
really kind of sad. So for me, I don't care if someone goes to college. I don't care if you go to a trade school, because let's be real. I have a college degree, but it's nothing but an expensive trade. Okay. expensive trade certification. I said it because I don't owe any student loans ever. Okay. I paid all mine in cash. So how I look at it like this, it's all about how you choose to leverage it. How do you use the leverage? How you use the knowledge as
say that
leverage.
Again. I want you to say that again because I want the people to hear it. I've been saying this to people all day long. What do they got to have? Say that again.
You got to have the knowledge in order to create the leverage.
So don't say that again. Please say that again. Say it again. I'm rewinding this shit all the time.
That's it, man. You gotta have the knowledge to even create the leverage.
Thank you. I've been telling people this. People come to me, we talking about, I'm hustling. Yeah. I said, look, you man, you can hustle for 50 years. You need to get the.
Let's be real. I'm in radio. I'm in television, and my degree is in accounting. Don't play me.
Yeah, I know that.
I know how to create apps from scratch. I know how to code, and I never had a MySpace page. Let's not go there.
Yeah. So
this is the thing.
I tell people this all the time. You can tell me you hustling. But I'm like, where's your leverage? Are you creating some leverage? Are you getting knowledge to create leverage? Do you understand what leverage is? You know what I'm saying? It's self-explanatory.
I'm cool with the term hustling because, like, if you go to my website, that's the first thing you see, hustling. You see people hustling, bustling. I got the word hustle across the top of my website. And the reason why I have that is because that's the mentality that most people have, is that they have to have a hustle. But what I do is I tell people, you don't have to have a hustle. You need to have a strategy. That's your hustle.
Say it again.
You gotta have a strategy. The strategy is the hustle. Because to me, if you don't know how to elevate upon each path, every person I know, I already know, because I play chess. So I got a chess move for everybody I meet. Every business partner, every mentee, everybody that I do business with, I got a chess move coming back on you.
And so you know I what? Play
not I checkers. And like if you come in my office for an appointment, we sit down and play chess as we talk about your business, because I want to show you the chess moves involving what you can do for your business. You got to have a strategy. I did not create a global brand in 2 years because I didn't have a strategy. You know, I was sitting in a car wreck. I was sitting in a wheelchair for a year. I taught myself how to make apps, how to write copy, how to write songs, how to produce music, about television production. I taught myself all of that, did all of free certifications I can. I was a YouTube student, I was summa cum laude of the YouTube University.
Hey, what you said? Hey, God dang them. I researched my podcast for a whole year on YouTube before I started. I went different people and I was, what I did was I was going through what was the bullshit. And what I wasn't, you know, and I was saying, okay, this person, I'm gonna take this, but I'm gonna do this twist, I'm gonna do that twist. You get what I mean? And I tell people, research. If you're trying to do something, research it.
You gotta be, first of all, I don't care if you're washing cars, okay? You need to know about every kind of wax that can scratch a car, whatever kind of cloth that can scratch a car. So to me, you can use, like I said, you gotta use the knowledge as a leverage. But my thing is this. A lot of people watch other people because they want to see what other people do and try to figure out the best way to re-up that or redo it, right? To me, I don't do a remix that way. What I do is simply I follow my path. I got in radio. I got a radio show based off of one radio interview. I didn't have no platform. My logo for my radio show changed 3 times in 9 months. I didn't have a plan. For me, everything that I fell into was really a life plan. I wrote out a plan when I was 19 and everything that I wanted to do and accomplish in my life. And that's what I did. And I made up a plan. I created a strategy and I did what I wanted to do. I never looked at competition because as far as I'm concerned, there is none. And okay. I proved it.
Hey, you know what's so funny? I got a line in one of my songs that said, I'm aiming for the top because I see the top is vacant. You know? And everybody everybody say to me like, no, it ain't. Somebody at the top. I say, okay, in your mind it is. In my mind, it ain't. You know what I mean? I'm going to be right there. Everybody that's trying to get up there, I'm going to be the person up there. So everybody that you think is at the top, I don't see them. You feel me? But then that was just a little slick line I used.
Look, that's a little shade right there. I'm cool with that.
Yeah, it is. It's a shade. No.
But the thing about it is, at the same time, that's a part of who your brand is. That's a part of who you are. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times business owners don't realize, just because you got a logo on a website, okay, that's nice, that's pretty, that's cool. But at the same time, you are the brand. So you got to be the brand every day. I don't wear my logo stuff all the time, but you are the brand. So be the brand. If this is what your company is about, make sure that people can see that on your social media, what your company is about and how you're moving. A lot of people say, I only want to post certain things. Forget that. If I got a bad day in the office, man, I'm going to say, man, you know, that deal just didn't go right. I'll go live and say that. But then people just want to create the highlight reel. Forget that. Show people the good, the bad, the ugly of business. Show them. And show people how to create a brand. For me, I did it my way. And I didn't make no excuses, but I will tell you this. I created a team. So if my team got a better idea than mine, we taking their idea. And we're going to run to the bank with that.
No doubt. Because like you said,
we need that OPM.
Yep. Right? Yep. And you know what? I tell you what I did, okay? Doing 7 years, 2011 to 2018. I'm going to tell you what I did. I ain't going to lie. First 3 years, I booked. Right? I really wasn't trying to, you know what I mean? I'm in there, you know, whatever, you're right? But then, you know, I got in shape, okay? I stopped smoking cigarettes. I ain't touched cigarettes since 2016, right? Yeah. And what I did is I started writing down a plan. Said, okay, this is what my name gonna be. This is what my brand gonna be. This is how it's gonna go down. This exactly. When I got out, I went to this place called Project Return, which they help people to get out of prison. Yeah. And I was telling them everything I was gonna do in the next 2 years. None of them really believe me, but one person, I swear, they was like, oh man, we hit it all the time. And then when it started, because I think I'm homeless, fresh out. What, you finna have a show in 2 months? You finna have an album out in 3 months? You're gonna own a record label in 9 months? And guess what? Everything, not one, not two, not three, everything I said I was gonna do and have in the next 2 years, I got, including my credit skyrocket. How did I get my credit good? I got it good. And I helped my girl get her credit good. And I've been trying to help other people, but they don't want to listen to me. Cool. Don't get your credit good. That's on you. I'm just trying to give you knowledge. And I got my passport, like I said, I was going to get to. So, and people don't want to listen to you because this is how they look at it. They've been out here, right? They've been out here in the world. And they looking at me like, okay, you came out and you ain't even been out 4 years yet. And you getting more than what I got. And I've been out here for 15, 16, you know, like I ain't never did no. And I'll be trying to tell people, but you don't want to listen to me. Like they didn't want to listen to me when I first came out. Who want to listen to God?
I'll tell you like this. Last year in 2020, because of COVID and everything that was going on, my firm gave away almost 300 services for free. Didn't matter what someone needed. We gave it to them for free. I bankrolled each project, right? I didn't care where the people located. We got people from Australia, Canada, Pittsburgh, Detroit, Chicago. Don't matter. I didn't matter where they was from or what they needed. It could have been a graphic. It could have been a logo. It could have been a commercial. I didn't care. I gave away the knowledge, right? But people didn't really, some people didn't gravitate to it, even though I offered them to it for free. So now, it's a year later, those same people have come back around, but now you get an invoice and I add tax. It's simple. It's simple. You know what I mean? To me, it's like, you can't make someone elevate when they're not ready.
Yeah, okay.
You didn't want to elevate during my free season. Now you want to elevate during, you know, my low-cost paying season, because I have people on slide and scale based on what their budget is, what they got going on, because I'm heart-centered, you know, but I still make money. So to me, that's cool. You weren't ready to elevate then, but now you can pay me now. You can pay me for your elevation now. And some people say, well, I still want to give back. Don't get me wrong. I give away free services every month to people. And I give free advice to people like you. But at the same time, people, what's that line in that Jay-Z song? People that never done it always try to tell you how to do it.
Do it, yeah.
That's my theme song. I listen to that coming to the office.
I ain't even finna blast nobody, man. I'm not even finna blast nobody, man. But I'm telling you, dog, a lot of these cats saying all this stuff and you ain't doing it.
They never did it.
Love ones and
people,
all.
I keep telling people, what's the rest of the line that song say? We don't hang around the same itches.
Yeah.
And we don't pay the same taxes.
You better know it.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Know,
you know what I mean?
Master P said this. He said, show me who your friends are, and I'll show you where you're going.
That's correct.
You know what I'm saying? If you talking, I heard this line in the movie. I swear, man, I'm gonna tell you what movie it was. I heard it in American. Was it American Me? I just got through watching American Me. I think that's what it was when he said, dang, who said, I can't remember. It's in the movie, but he said, if you talking to a person that don't have no reasons, you know, don't have no goals, why are you even wasting your time trying to talk to a person that have no reasons? He said, they're just going to put you in the same boat. There ain't nothing but other weights on you that you don't need. You know, I love my girl, no doubt. You know what I'm saying? But sometimes, you know, if she say something and I'm like, all right, cool. I really don't want to talk about it because it's negative. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I get a little flack, but, you know, I'm just trying to help her understand that, look, let's get that focus on the positive. You know, if other people want to throw negative energy our way, we right. got to deflect that negative energy and be like, boom, we don't need that. This is what we on. You get what I'm saying? This is what we on. You feel what I mean? Well,
I'm all about attachment because my whole vibe is this. I can care about you as a friend. I can care about your elevation. I can, even if somebody that I know, strangers, okay? Because I care about just people in general. Yeah. But I'm okay with the detachment of people until they're ready. I'm not one of those people that's going to call you every day and beat you over the head. Even clients. I tell my clients straight up, I move as fast or as slow as you do because you're still going to pay me in the end for what you need. So if it takes you 6 months to draw out the launch of your company or a year, that's fine. But every month you are paying me a retainer fee, you know? So sometimes we do what we do because we love what we do and we want other people to get excited and motivated because we see that potential in them. But if they don't see the potential within themselves, then sometimes we have to be okay with the detachment and wait until they come back around. And a lot of people say, dang, Candace, that's kind of cold. It's like, no, you can't beat somebody over the head and you can't get, what they say, you can't get blood out of a turnip.
So, no.
You know, but I'm one of those people, I will give it freely. If you call me, you say, hey, I'm trying to do this project, but I can't afford it. Okay, so, let's look at the return of investment on that. If I invest my time in it, how fast can I get my money back?
No doubt.
And I'm one of the people, I'll do that. I'll make a deal with you. I'll set up a payment plan. If you want to pay me in full payments like they talk about on PayPal or whatever.
Yeah.
If you want to cut
Amazon, everything got payments, man.
Yeah, if you want to cut my grass in exchange for this website or this app.
Man, come cut this grass.
Then come cut this grass. you know, but I mean, I work with people because I feel like how can we as a people talk about things as an elevation, inspiration, and not provide the vehicle for people to go in? I'm going to provide the vehicle. Please understand, I'm going to be the conductor, but, you know, I might drive the vehicle. But in the end, you the apprentice. You got to take it over.
Okay. So, I want to ask you something. Since we on the financial thing, and then you know I'm gonna get into some political stuff too.
So no problem.
Get in that. Right now I want to ask you something, and you just keep it real to me about it. Okay, what is your outlook on a 9-to-5? Okay, let me tell you. I'm gonna tell you my outlook. Me personally, is a 9-to-5 what everybody should have? Of course not. Is a 9-to-5 meant for people that is meant for certain type of people? Yes, it is. Okay. Now, this is my thing. People say, oh, everybody can't be an entrepreneur. Everybody can't do what you do. You know, this is the thing. People ask me and say, dang, y'all be on vacation. Y'all be doing this. Y'all be doing that. And I'll be telling them, I say, okay, let me break something down to you, right? I'm going to show you how I start. I quit my electrical job a year ago. Okay. I do my own thing. Right. You know what I'm saying? So I'm able to travel and promote my movie and stuff, but check this out. I told them, okay, I'm going to give you 5 apps. These people that got 9-to-5 jobs. Now I'm going to give you 5 apps. You can work for these apps. You ain't got to work every day. You ain't got to do that. You ain't got to clock in at a certain time, and I'm gonna give you these apps. So I put 10 people on the podcast, okay, and gave them the apps. Now, out of 10 people, how many people you think actually did it? It was only one person.
I was gonna at least say two.
Man, look,
one
person that's been calling me. You know what they say, 1%. One person that be calling me, trying to get better at the app, you know, trying to be like, okay, so this is how I do it. This is how, you know, so I can get the money quicker like that. Cause he works for the government and it's good. He's one of my actors right here, actually, in my film. But and he's ready to make that transition, right? Cause I told him, I said, look, man, I'm gonna be honest with you. If I was still working a 9-to-5, if I was still doing electrical work in Nashville, which is booming, I'm working 6 days, 60 hours. Yeah. If I was doing that still, what I'm doing now, shooting this film with you, able to do my podcast, able to write, because, you know, I wrote, direct, produced, and did the screenplay to the film also. And I took the pictures, by the way. But I'm just saying, if I was on that 9-to-5, my time would be cut short. So this is what I did, right? I said, okay, 60 hours a week, right? That is 240 hours a month, right? So 60 hours a week, 240 hours a month. So I thought to myself, what if I can cut that in half, right? I cut it in half, right? So now I only got cut in half. I'm like at 30% of that. And that's just to get the same money and even more than what I'm making. And I'm able to do all this, which is creating more. So I'm trying to tell people, like, man, you got to understand that you got to learn how to minimize your time, maximize your earnings, man. And okay. a lot of people, you know, especially when you're talking about trying to get into something, because first and foremost, you got to go in your craft. If you're doing your craft, if your craft only getting 20% of your attention, if your craft is only getting 20% of your attention, it's going to be damn hard for you to get there, because there's other people out there that is giving their craft 80, 90, and they going the same route you going the place, trying to get where you're trying to go. So if they out there doing 80 and you only out there doing 20, because you are so comfortable where you ain't, like, you get what I mean, you in your comfort zone, then okay. What don't you think you going out, you can't outwork that. You know what Denzel Washington say, and I listen to his stuff all the time, he said, do what other people won't do. You fall down 7, you get up 8. That's what you do. You know what I mean?
I got you. But this is how I feel about 9-to-5, right? You know, because I know it's like being a 9-to-5. When you have a 9-to-5, you there for 8 hours. First and foremost, let me just say this. I don't care where you work. Every job you take needs to be stackable. If you know you need that knowledge. Every job you take needs to be stackable to where you need to get more skill set, more this, more that, learn the ins and outs of that particular business, especially if you like it, because that could be your elevation to do something else outside of the working hours. Let's be real. Every day you got 24 hours to figure out what you're going to do. Only 8 of them belong to you. So if you're not doing nothing with the other 16 hours of your day, or maybe extra 8, the extra 8 you got every day, okay, outside of the 8 hours of sleeping, if you're not doing with it, anything with it, my question to you would be this: who's your master at that point? Okay, who's your master? Every job you get, you got this. If you got time to go to the club, if you got time to go to movies, if you got time to go to little Mimi and them little yacht party
on Netflix and the idiot box. Yep.
So to me, what you need to
scroll
do
through
is
TikTok.
Right, but create a plan. If you know you're working a 9-to-5 job and you know in 1 year or 2 years you want to be out fully on your own as an entrepreneur, then every month you need to have a checkbox of goals that you need to do it. And then at the same time, I don't knock nobody that's a 9-to-5. Everybody not built to be an entrepreneur. Some people are just built to be the employee.
And that's exactly what I just said.
I'm just saying, as a consultant, I've seen too many people that feel like because they was the hostess at a restaurant, then all of a sudden they can run a restaurant. No, and I said this on a podcast. Just because you was the hostess and you greeted people and sat them down at their table and made sure they had their water and gave them a menu, that don't mean you need to run a restaurant because you didn't like what management did. Then you need to get in a management position at a restaurant to see what it does. How do you do that? How you become a purchaser of the meats and the products and work with the vendors? You got to go all the way into it in order to get out of it. So that's how I look at it.
Now, what you just said, you're right about that. Everybody cannot be an entrepreneur. So, you know, when people listen to my...
And I tell people, it's okay to have a great idea and let somebody else run the company. You could create that logo. You could create that packaging. You could create whatever it is. Get you a team of people that can run that thing while you still work your 9 to 5. If you have an idea but don't know how to get it done, get somebody else to get it done while you're working your 9 to 5.
Yeah, yeah.
You just be the boss.
I tell you this, which is absolutely true. And the thing about me, right, I don't knock people that do 9 to 5s, right? And a lot of people are like, why you not gonna? No. When a person come to me and talk about they trying to be an entrepreneur, they trying to do this, they trying to do that, man, but I can't let my 9 to 5 to go. That's when I say stuff. See, they'll say, well, man, I want to do this, I want to do that, but man, I can't really let my 9 to 5 go, and I can't move like that. Look, I had two co-hosts. Can I tell you, I had two co-hosts on my show. One of them had to go 3 months, and that was another. And another one is one of my homeboys that I've been knowing 17 years. But guess what? He was like, man, you know, but, you know, he couldn't move like I moved because of his job, you know.
But at the same time, it could have been for a couple of reasons. It wasn't the fact that he didn't have the skill set. He was looking at probably the financial investment that he needed. And let's be real. Some people, if you got a family and, you know, you got medical conditions, it ain't nothing wrong with that steady paycheck and them health insurance benefits. You know what I'm saying? Some people, they don't have that drive. They have the passion, but they don't have the drive.
That's what I'm saying to you. That's exactly what I'm saying.
You know, I tell people all the time, who are your master at the end of the day? Either you're going to use your 9 to 5 to create the plan that you want, to be able to afford you the things that you want. If you know you make a certain amount of dollars, but you know you can live in a smaller apartment, drive a cheaper car, not have, you know, the most recent shoes and accessories, and you can scale back your budget, then you can put that money to the side to afford your dreams. I'm true. And I tell people all the time, if you're a 9 to 5 and you want to stay a 9 to 5, if you're the janitor, be the best goddamn janitor there is.
Hey, what my girl always say. Yeah.
Be the person that, okay, they look at it and say, okay, but we want you to select the crews that's going to clean out other builders. You know what I'm saying? Elevate yourself within your 9 to 5. Stop acting like it's excuses out there because you got too many hours out of the day to take a certification class and all of these things. You know what I mean? Certifications you could get for under $100. I got a database. How about that?
Yeah, you know what? I'll tell you this. A lot of people say I'm an asshole, right? And I'm going to tell you what a guy told me, millionaire. He said, man, I was doing a little thing for him. And he was like, man, you very firm. I said, of course, I'm firm in what I do. I believe in this, what it is, and this is what it's going to be. He said, man, you an asshole, but you got the right idea. You don't put your feelings involved. Don't ever do that. When you doing business, he's sitting in a $10 million house now. So when you doing business, you ain't got to like the person you doing business with. You can care less about that person. But if he doing good business, you do good business. He said, let nobody try to talk you into a deal that you know is not what you want. Man, hey, man, the man was like, man, he said, you're going to get a lot of flack, you know, and I was told that. And people said, man, when you start elevating, when you start doing stuff, man, people going to feel like you don't care about them no more. They going to feel, look, I got people that feel that way. And guess what I say? Now, I love you from a distance. I ain't got time to hear your problems. I ain't got time. And I'm going to tell you, but hear what I'm saying by when I say that, okay? Now, because I don't want you to take it wrong. This is the thing. Anytime you calling me and it's about your problems, look, I got kids. I got 6 kids plus 2 stepkids. I got enough problems. You get what I'm saying? And my thing is, I love you, but that's all you call about. It's not about, are you okay? How you doing? Man, I see you moving forward, you know, like I would do with you. And that'd be my thing. So, you know, a lot of people don't even call me no more because they already know how I am. I'm not trying to, look, man, I don't need the negativity.
Well, sometimes we have to look at it like this. And it's not so much as you being an asshole, because I think that that's I think that's an unfair thing. What I would say that you're protecting your energy. It's not you being an asshole. You're protecting your energy. It's some people that call my phone. I tell them as soon as I pick up, you know, you got 5 minutes. And if it's a problem and you ain't got to, if you're not going to listen to the solution, I don't want to hear about it. But my mama, my daddy, okay. My brother, okay. My siblings, okay. I'm cool. Business good. What you got going up? Now you got 4 minutes left. And sometimes with certain people, you got to do that with. And let's be real. Sometimes I'm so busy, I don't even have time to answer my phone or return text messages to 11, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. And I tell people like sometimes it's like that. I said, because sometimes you get busy, but I'm got to reach my goal too. So I still reach out to people because I want people to know that I'm there. I care for them, even if it's just a quick text, meme of the day. But, you know, sometimes certain people, I already know I can't text them no meme of the day because they're going to call and discuss the intricacies of the meme of the day. No.
You're right. You're right. Okay, now look, let me get to a little bit of the political side. So now in Texas, man, I hear a lot of things is going down in Texas. And the governor that you are campaign manager for, her name is Deidre Gilbert, right? Now,
That's correct.
What is Deidre Gilbert? What is some of her plans for the state of Texas?
Okay, well, I can honestly say prior to this interview, I did not get clearance from her in order to discuss her platform.
Okay,
but
cool.
Her campaign manager, what I will say is this. Her focus is to heal Texas. You know, Texas has been going through a lot of things, a lot of changes, a lot of things that were, you know, the ball was dropped on. You know, in regards to healthcare, education, small business revitalization. She's about all of those things. So for her, her platform is to heal Texas and to get Texas back strong.
Has there ever been a woman governor in Texas?
There has. Last female governor was Ann Richards.
How long was that ago?
That was back in the 90s.
Been a while. Mm-hmm. So, okay. I'm just asking, you ain't got to answer this question if you don't want to, but is she a black woman or is she a white woman?
She is a black woman born and raised out of Houston, Texas. Okay. You know, I'm not going to say if, I'm going to say when she wins, she will be the first African-American governor, period.
Okay. Okay. And look, what about the law? Like, okay. If I get your insight a little bit about mass incarceration of black men in this country and I just want to ask you a question about that. And this coming from a guy that was in prison. So when people try to speak, look, you know, I did 6 years as a juvenile too. I've been to institutions and everything since I was 5 years old. And I done talked to over 100 psychiatrists also. So when people try to come and weave a lot of things, I was in it, you know, and this thing, I was there. So this is my thing. What do you think about mass incarceration of black men, which started happening during the Ronald Reagan term of his presidency, when he basically did what he did with the crack and the cocaine, and the black men that are locked up almost some of nonviolent crimes?
I'll say this in regards to mass incarceration of black men. It actually started in 1976, right? So it actually started in the 70s. But
Nixon Act, before that, when Nixon.
He resigned. So we have to look at history and how history plays a part in the progression of people. All of that was going on was really about tearing down what the Black Panther Party had built.
Yeah.
And then those programs became, you know, some of our national programs that we have today. So I look at it like this. It wasn't so much as the mass incarceration. It was like, okay, how can we keep people oppressed? It just happened to lead to the incarceration of black and brown people. And I'll say it that way.
And so it went up so many percentages. If you go look back, how it went from 11% to 80% to 112% in like 4 years, you're like, something ain't right. Like,
yeah.
Like, something ain't right. Like, and people ignore it. And people ignore it. And that's what gets me about it. What it is like, I have nothing against nobody. No, I even got biracial kids, but this is my thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where a lot of Black people are fighting for laws for Black people in America, okay? And I've said this on my podcast before, and I'm going to say it to you, and I want to know what you think about it, because it is what it is. I'm going to keep it all the way gutter, man. I got a poem called Don't Put No Sugar on My Grapefruit, and I will not. I want it sour. This is what it is. A lot of us want what the government do not want to give us, okay? They do not want to do it. Like when the things happen with the Asian and the Pacific, they wrote that law, they did it like that. You know, they put that law in effect when all this stuff was happening with the Asians and people getting killed. They were like, boom, this is the law to protect them. And a lot of Black people, a lot of Black leaders, they was like, where's our law? I was saying, you see the George Floyd thing. You see the Michael Brown, the Breonna Taylor. We can go on and on and on and on. But I say this all the time on my podcast. I say it to people all the time. Let me tell you something about how America feel when it comes to Black people, man. You got to realize something. Did the natives get some stuff back? Yeah. Did they get all of it back? No. But do they got land and Federal Reserves and stuff to protect them? Yes, they do. When the Italians came over, did they get stuff after a while? Yes, they did. Did the immigrants that came from all these other countries get stuff? Yes, they did. This is the thing. Black people, we were not looked as human beings for a long time. And to be honest with you, at this moment that we are in now is a systematic racism, as they call it. And they still don't look at us as equal. So while we are out there fighting, and then what gets me is we'll stop marching. We'll stop protesting. Like, it's like, okay, cool. It's been a year. Let's just chill. Look, this is the thing, man. A lot of us, we speak about these situations. We say, we don't like this, we don't like that, we don't like that. But a lot of us don't want to go out there, put our head on the chopping block because we're scared of what's going to happen. You know, oh, I'm going to lose everything. So no, I'm not doing that. So this is my thing.
If, conditioning.
Yeah, what you say? Conditioning. And we can't speak. Listen, we cannot keep on saying we want this, we want that, we want that. You know what the government's saying? We're giving you what you want. We're giving you public housing. We're giving you free food stuff for your Black women. That's what we're giving you. That's all you need. Stay right there. Stay in that place. Let's keep putting the liquor stores and the Title Maxes and the discount tobacco stores. Yeah, y'all can smoke and drink forever. Y'all can go and take your cards, get $2,500 for it and never able to pay off. Go get you a flex loan in advance finance. That's how they looking at it. Man, they not fit to look, man. And I tell but you, you got to go out there and get it.
It comes from conditioning, and it also comes from a lack of knowledge. I'm somebody that read the 1,500 of, I forgot how many pages, about 1,500 pages every year IRS tax code. Okay? To me, if we're going to sit here and talk about what we do, you have to use their paper and pen against them. And you also have to use their paper and pen for your leverage. So to me, if you don't know the history of the food stamp program, then you're not going to care. You're just going to look at it like, oh, okay. But at the same time, it broke down the structure of the Black family because somebody's husband might lost their job. Mama might be able to go and get food stamps because she only working part-time. But then at the same time, you get this housing, but you can't have no man up in here.
What you said.
So at the same time, we can't sit here and talk about what the quote unquote, and I'm going to say quote unquote, because I don't have any issues with any races, because at the end of the day, all money is green. So I don't have any issues with anybody. No, no. But what I will say is this. We have to be okay with knowing our history. We have to be okay with getting that knowledge, getting that leverage that we need. We have to be okay with saying that it's okay to stand up for yourself against systematic racism. It's okay to go out here and get all of the things that you pray and you hope and you wish for. The thing about it is, that's the reason why I say I don't like the terms generational curse, and I don't like what the vision of generational wealth is. Yeah. A lot of people do not elevate because only thing they think about, like you said, is everything they're going to lose and not what they're going to gain. It comes from conditioning. It starts with the mindset. If you don't break the mindset and forgive yourself and your ancestors for everything they got right and everything they got wrong, you would never have a breakthrough in order to succeed.
Okay, okay. You're right. You're right. You absolutely right.
Think about it. Sometimes we carry the pain and the oppression, and we carry that weight of our ancestors trying to do better than our ancestors on our shoulders, instead of giving yourself a break and breathing. And like I tell all my clients, you have to break yourself. You have to give yourself forgiveness. Forgive yourself. Forgive your ancestors for everything they got right and everything they got wrong.
Yeah.
Because everybody going to get on top and then try to figure out another way to get on top and then get disappointed in themselves. For what? I sit here with my $10 Walmart shoes on, and I can retire in 8 years and never have to work a day again in my life. And I drive live in the hood.
What so you said?
It's all about the strategy.
Hey, I don't wear no chains. I don't do all that. I wear my brand. I'm be honest with you. I wear shorts from Walmart. Yes, I do. I be getting the little N1s. Cause I like N1s, whatever. I don't care. You feel me? Guess what? I be wearing the $35 Felines. I got like two pairs of Jordans, but the rest of my, I got a little $30 Felines and stuff. Whatever. Don't make me no difference. I'm cool with that.
Right.
And it works. It worked for me, you know,
This is a thing, though. This is like another thing, too. This is another thing, too. A lot of people, I get on people when they talk about black clothing lines, right? To me, I'm sorry. If you get your product from China, your ink from India, your labels from Pakistan, you do not have a black-owned company. You just threw your label on some product that somebody else produced. To me, you go out here and find the micro businesses that are
Black owned,
female owned, you know, if it's disabled, you know.
It's a couple people that did it. I can't think of her name, but she, all her stuff is made in Kenya.
Right. But at the same time, you get what I'm saying?
So yeah, I get exactly what you're saying.
Only a few do that. Yeah, but at the same time, if they go out and not use the same vendor list that their homegirl sold them for $15 online, and then she just research. They can find where these micro businesses are that produce the ink, produce the cotton, produce everything that you need in order to fulfill your business. Don't get me wrong. We're going to all go into Walmart. We're going to all do that Target and that Rose Ross. We're going to all do that.
Amazon Prime.
We're going to all do it. So don't sit here and tell me that everything has to be black on because your television ain't black on and neither is the car you drive. So we ain't gonna go there today. Like I said, we are global citizens. And I think the minute we start thinking like global citizens, we can actually solve the problems within our communities and neighborhood for the betterment of the globe.
Hey, guess what? That's enough said. Say less. Say less. All right. Well, look, check it out. We're going to get to our last two segments of the show. First and foremost, before we get to that, can you tell the people where they can find you?
All right. So Candace Joseph, CEO, Joseph Consulting Firm. You can go to the josephconsultingfirm.com. You can hit me up, look up the Joseph Consulting Firm on all social media.
Spell that for the people, because, you know, we got some people that,
All right. Josephconsulting, Consulting, Firm, FIRM.com. If you want
to spell the .com to a message.
If you want to contact me directly, you can look me up, Candace Joseph, on all social media platforms. If you're on Instagram, it's Candace the King, CandaceTheKing, because I am the ruler of my kingdom. So that's why I'm Candace the King.
No doubt.
You know, and if you want to text me, you can text my business line, 713-425-0510. Look, somebody from the firm going to always get with you. I just built the house where all the entrepreneurs live. And if you want to volunteer for the campaign, you can hit me up and inbox me and let me know that, too. And that's just how I get down.
Oh, that's what's up. That's what's up. All right. So, look, we're going to get to the last two segments of this show. Okay. Now, look, the first segment of the show is called Under the Bus. Since you are an entrepreneur and you are a campaign manager right now, so I'm going to have to give you two of the people. They were actually their groups, so I'm going to give you two. And you have to pick one, and one got to go up under the bus. Now, I wanted to say something, and I was like, you know, if I say this person, I know exactly who she going to pick. So this is how I'm going to do this. You have Obama and Biden, and then you have Biden and Harris. But this is the twist. Harris is the president, and Obama is not. He's the vice president. So we're going to switch their roles. Which one would you pick? Obama or Harris?
Please understand, the following comment is not the, you know, I got to put my disclaimer out there. It is not the opinion of the Joseph Consulting Firm, the team at the Business Knowledge Broker Hour, or the campaign to get Deidre Gilbert elected to governor of Texas. This is Candace Joseph's opinion based on a question in which he's asked, because this is a very hard choice. But Obama and Biden got Obama and Biden underneath the bus, bro.
Oh, it is done. It is done. Candace Joseph has threw Obama and Biden under the bus. Biden and Harris, or should I say Harris and Biden, you have been chosen by Candace Joseph. That's what's up, man. I like that. I love that. That's what's up. I ain't gonna give my opinion on it. That's the question that was for you. Now we're gonna get to the last segment, and y'all know what this is called. The last segment of this podcast is called Brutally Honest. That means I ask you a question, and you gotta be brutally honest about it. And if you're not honest, I will roast you. And when I say I will roast you, I will roast you, because I am a comedian, and I've been looking at everything in your background, everything on your face, everything you got going on, and I will roast you if I don't believe you. So get ready for the roast. So you better keep it gutter. So this is the question right here. The question is, have you ever lied about the candidate you actually voted for?
Yes. Yes.
I believe. Because yes. It ain't nobody business, right?
Well, I mean, I look at it like this. Sometimes we have to remember a lot of people like to vote historically based on who their family voted for, or based on who what name recognition they have. For me, I actually look at the person's platform, what they're going to do, look at the history of what they've done for not only the politician side, but I look at it from a human standpoint. What did they do in their own communities in which they live? Okay. So if it's a Republican, independent, Green Party, then I voted for them. I'm going to let you know. I don't believe in voting straight ticket, because the thing about it is people don't realize when you vote straight ticket and there's a person like a Republican and independent are running against each other, and there's no Democrat. If you vote straight Democrat for that piece of the campaign, they're going to automatically give the vote to the Republican.
Oh, hey, that's good to know. And guess what? I can't even answer that question because I ain't voted yet. I'm going to be honest. And you that's will. That's a whole nother podcast. But I'll tell you, man, we gonna get there. So everybody, check this out, man. I'm gonna give y'all my drop right now. My name is Joaquin, right? All right, if y'all wanna listen to the music, y'all can go to WYQEEM on all musical platforms. That's WYQ Eric, Mimi, Mama, Mumu. Or y'all wanna go see the music videos, y'all can go to Joaquin TV. That's WYQEEM TV. That's WYQ Eric. Mimi, Mama, Mumu. And if y'all want to go listen to this podcast, wherever, Pandora, Apple Podcasts, HeatLevelPodcast.com, iHeartRadio, I don't really care, wherever you get your podcast. And if you want to look at the visuals on YouTube, y'all better go to Heat Level Podcast and subscribe. And guess what? I'm not going to spell it, because if you can't spell Heat Level Podcast, I guess you need to get some knowledge so you can get some leverage. Thank you for that one. So I'm going to drop it. Make sure y'all like, comment, and share. And Candace Joseph, I appreciate you coming on the podcast. Do you have any inspiring words to say before we get up out of here?
Remember, every day you have the time and ability and choice to create impact. Create it with love, knowledge, strength, and always with peace. That's it.
And that's enough said. Say less. Say less, please. Just say less. Hey, y'all know me, and y'all know how I always say I'm about this beat. Every time they in, they ride. Every time they hear this beat. Every time they in the spot. Every time I'm on they street. They listening to me.